Bibles, if you would, to Exodus chapter 7. I'll try to have the plate in the back on your way out to your small groups if you'd like to give to the youth fund. But for now, let's go to Exodus chapter 7. In John chapter 20, verse 21, the Lord Jesus says, "As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." God has always had a plan to get his message to those that he wants to get it to. Communication is still absolutely vital in our lives, in our relationships today. Communication is the sending and receiving of information. And so God had information that he wanted to give to Moses, so that he could send it to, get it to Pharaoh. And we're going to learn a little bit about that tonight. Exodus chapter 7 and verse 1. "And the Lord said unto Moses, See, I have made thee a god to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. Thou shalt speak all that I command thee, and Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh, that he send the children of Israel out of this land. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and multiply my signs and wonders in the land of Egypt. But Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that I may lay my hand upon Egypt and bring forth mine armies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgments. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I stretch forth my hand upon Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them." And Moses said, and Moses and Aaron did as the Lord commanded them, so did they. And Moses was 80 years old, and Aaron 83 years old, when they spake unto Pharaoh. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, "When Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, Show a miracle for you, then shalt thou say unto Aaron, Take thy rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent. And Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord had commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and sorcerers, now the magicians of Egypt. They also did in like manner with their enchantments, for they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods." Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, as we come before your throne of grace again, we just pray that you would give us understanding of the word tonight. I pray your Holy Spirit would convict us. And Lord, that you would work in this church, each member would be conformed to the image of Christ, that we would know you, that we would love you, and that we would faithfully serve you by your grace and by the power of your Holy Spirit. Forgive where we've fallen short, Lord, and I pray that you'll do a great work in our hearts tonight. And Lord, please speak to us and help us to find our place, to take our place in your plan, to get the gospel to this world that desperately needs salvation. Please help now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Every generation, God has raised up men and women to carry his message to their culture, to their generation. Moses had left Egypt, living in the land of Midian for 40 years. Remember, he was 40 when he fled from Egypt. He spent 40 years there, so now he's 80 years old. His enemy, which would have been the Egyptian Pharaoh Thutmose III, he had died, and now there was a new Pharaoh, which I believe was Amenhotep II. If you study a lot of history, you'll find most historians tell you that there's no evidence of the Israelites in Egypt during the time that they think, and there's no evidence of the Exodus, but the problem is they're just looking a few hundred years in the wrong place. You go back in history a couple of hundred, 200 to 400 years earlier in Egyptian history, and you find much evidence in the Egyptian Delta of the Semitic people living there and of a mass exodus, like seemingly overnight, that they just up and left out of the area. And there's so much history there. There's so much great truth that you can find in Christian archaeology. It's amazing. A group of people who were there that came as a small group multiplied very quickly in the Egyptian Delta, the area known as Goshen, and that they rose up there, and then suddenly they became very poor. Their health became very bad, as though they had prospered really well, and then all of a sudden they became poor, as you would if you became a slave. And then all of a sudden at one time they leave, but they leave very wealthy. It's almost like archaeology is confirming exactly what the Bible tells us. Shocking, isn't it? No. Well, listen, true science and true archaeology will always back up what the Bible says. And we need to always, let me just give you this, always trust in the Word of God. Let this be where you stand. Don't stand on the archaeology. Don't stand on the science because it's always changing. Stand on the Word of God that never changes. So God had a plan of deliverance for the Israelites. He had a message for Pharaoh. He gave them a command. In verse 2, we read, "Thou shalt speak all that I command thee." Thou shalt speak all that I command me. And notice he's talking to Moses and Aaron. He says, listen, this is the way it's going to work. I'm going to tell you what to say. You're going to tell Aaron. Aaron's going to tell Pharaoh. It's going to be as though I am to you, Moses, you will be to Aaron. So don't let that get you all upset when he says, I've made thee a god to Pharaoh. It's just the picture that he's giving. Now, while God chooses to use men and women like us, he doesn't intend for us to do the work ourselves. So many times, we don't do what God's called us to do. And then when we do what God calls us to do, we're afraid and we don't feel like we have the ability, which is exactly right. We don't have the ability of our own. God never intended us to do the work on our own. He wants us to do it in His power and in His Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4 says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." So God chose men to deliver the message, and He empowers men to deliver that message. "You shall speak all that I command thee." God can take somebody who thinks he's a nobody and can use them to tell everybody about him. God can do that. He gives us the message. Aren't you glad that we don't have to come up with our own message? We don't have to write a new script. We don't have to devise some new plan, but that God has given us the gospel, and that's what we're to tell people. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 25, "But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." It's the word of God that was preached. And listen, it was the gospel that was preached to the Israelites. Hebrews tells us that plainly. The gospel was preached to them just like it is to you. The good news of deliverance from God is not a new message exclusive to the New Testament. God has always had a message of deliverance. The message was preached to them. It's the same message John the Baptist preached, the same message that Jesus preached, the same message that Paul preached, the same message that Peter preached, the same message that we preach today. It's the gospel that comes from the Word of God. We just take the message of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ to the people around us. We let them know that we're all sinners. But even though we're sinners, God loves us so much that Jesus died for us. And through His grace and through His mercy, He offers salvation to all who believe. God has given us a message that we need to share. Sometimes the message doesn't get across the right way. There was a really cold morning, freezing cold morning in a man had just got to work when his wife texted him. And she said, "Windows frozen, won't open." So he texted back and he said, "Pour some warm water on it and tap it gently with a hammer." A little while later, she texted back and said, "The computer is really messed up now." Get it, Windows? Okay. I thought it was funny. Is that what you call a dad joke? Okay. Listen, God's plan of deliverance began with a command. He had His spokesman and He had His script, but God's message to Moses also included a caution. After a history of hundreds of years of bondage, it may have appeared to the Israelites as though God had forgotten them or as though there was nothing that He could do to save them. But their situation was never out of God's control. Your situation is never out of God's control. God gives a warning to let Moses know that the message is not going to be received. He says, I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and wonders in the land of Egypt. God has told us that when we speak out for him, a lot of times there's going to be trials, there's going to be difficulty, there's going to be rejection that's going to come. But we can trust in God for the results. Listen, it's up for us to be faithful to deliver the message. It's up to God to give the results. We plant, we water, but it's God who gives the increase. Listen, this is a message we need to hear because so many times it can be so discouraging when you give somebody the gospel and they don't respond the way you want them to. I mean, it'd be real nice that every time you gave somebody a gospel tract, they fell on their knees and said, what must I do to be saved? It'd be real nice if every time you knocked on somebody's door and told them about Jesus, they came trembling and said, sirs, what must we do to be saved? But it doesn't happen that way all the time. Sometimes you're met with rejection. Sometimes you're met with hatred. Sometimes you're met with questions. It's not always going to go the way we might hope it would go, but we need to be faithful to do what God's called us to do. Moses and Aaron did what God told them to do. He said, I want you to go and speak what I command you. And they went and spoke what he commanded. It's not up to us to be faithful based on people's response. It's up to us to obey the command of God. Now, a lot of people get real upset about this phrase, and there's a lot of theological debate because God says, I will harden Pharaoh's heart. But I want you to look at 1 Samuel chapter 6 and verse 6. People begin to wrestle with this idea of free will. Did God take away Pharaoh's free will? Did God harden his heart? Did he take away his choice to believe the message? How exactly did that work? I think 1 Samuel 6:6 gives us a really good clue. He says, wherefore then do ye harden your hearts, as the Egyptians and Pharaoh hardened their hearts? When he had wrought wonderfully among them, did they not let the people go, and they departed? God's word tells us in many other places, and all through Exodus, you'll see that Pharaoh hardened his own heart. Pharaoh hardened his own heart many times. This is the question that is here in 1 Samuel 6. Will you harden your heart the way that Pharaoh hardened his heart? So what does that tell us? It tells us that God allowed him to choose, and that Pharaoh chose to harden his heart against the Lord. And as he continued to do that, eventually he got to the place where God did harden his heart. Listen, God only knows, but everyone who will reject the gospel of Jesus Christ will come to a point where they will fully and finally reject Jesus Christ. Every person who rejects him forever will come to a point where they'll fully and finally reject Christ, and God only knows when that time is. And when somebody gets to that point of no return, God knows, and God will often give them over to a reprobate mind. It's the same thing we see in Romans chapter 1 and verse 24. Romans 1 tells us that God has put the knowledge of himself in everybody through creation. We know that there's a creator. But God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. God had shown himself to them. God had revealed himself to them, but they didn't like to retain God in their knowledge, so they suppressed the truth in their unrighteousness, and God gave them over to a reprobate mind because God knows when a person fully and finally rejects Christ. Now, let me tell you something. You don't know, and I don't know. So our job is to keep taking the message to them and leaving the results up to God. God knows. God knows. He reached out to them over and over again, but they continued to harden their hearts till God gave them up to their own desires. Sooner or later, at some point, God is going to say, enough is enough. And people are still hardening their hearts against God today. History is full of men who harden their hearts to God. Have you ever heard of a man named Karl Marx? You ever heard of Marx? Did you know that Karl Marx grew up in a Jewish home? Did you know that he converted to Lutheranism as a young man? And it was only later in his life, after being raised as a Jew, after converting to Lutheranism, that he became an atheist and created the philosophy of communism and denied the faith? Did you know that Charles Darwin had a religious background. Did you know that Charles Darwin went to college to study to become a minister? Did you know it was only later that he would reject God's word, that he would never allow the truth of God's word to penetrate into his heart, that he would die as an agnostic, saying he didn't know whether God existed or not? Listen, these are people who were exposed to the truth, who were given the truth, but they rejected the truth. They hardened their heart against the word of God. And I would encourage you tonight, as God's word encourages us, don't harden your heart against God's word, but be receptive to the word of God. We're going to stop right here, and we're going to have a word of prayer, and then we'll break up into our small groups tonight. Challenged to understand God's game plan and give ourselves to do the work that God's called us to do by his grace. Father, we pray.